This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Orioles and Nats start a two-game series tonight at Camden Yards. We're Pickles across the street taking them until 5:30. Ravens on the practice field for training camp as they just played their first preseason game Friday. It's a perfect time to talk to our friend Rita Hubbard, who joins us every Tuesday. And Rita, thank you as always for joining us. So let's start with the Ravens. Did you see anything you liked on Friday night?
It's funny. Well, obviously Nate Wiggins, right? I mean, yeah. I call him Wiggy. I'm calling Wiggy because I'm lazy and I like to just give people nicknames. But you know, the kid is to me as advertised. The things that I that were going to be a concern for him, I'm still a little concerned about because I think that there's some plays that that might be considered pass interference as the season goes on, because we know refs love throwing that flag. So he has to be careful about some of those plays. But I love his physicality. I love how smart he is. I love how fast he gets back to the football. I think that, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, how they're going to utilize him. I think I got out of that more so about my concern about the backup quarterback situation, though. And Glenn and I talked about that on the show on Sunday, because I didn't like the way Josh Johnson looked. I think that for a guy who's been on 17 teams and been in the league for as long as he's been in, for him to still have, to me, very trivial errors that he's having is a concern. And I don't know how you go into the regular season saying that with confidence, that's your backup quarterback. So, and I say that because, I mean, we saw him play for about a half. So I got to see some of that stuff is like with the offensive line and those guys. A lot of those guys, we're not going to see some of those guys. So I think I need to see more at this coming game, coming up this weekend. Maybe the guys that they foresee to be starting will get some better play time, because I saw some Rose Garden, but I was more concerned about what Josh Johnson had going on than I was about the offensive linemen. So I'll do a better job of that this weekend. But back to your original question, I thought Nate Wiggins looked a lot like his tape at Clemson out there last week.
Trenton Simpson got a lot of hype this offseason, Rita. What did you think of him in preseason week one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that Trenton Simpson, to me, is trending up, and we had an opportunity to talk to him as well. And he, you know, felt good about what, you know, going into that preseason game. Again, it's kind of hard when you're playing against guys that are not necessarily considered starters. So for me, while I thought Trenton Simpson did well, I'm more so going on what we saw from him on the last game of last year against the Steelers, who, you know, were playing their starters because they were playing for a playoff spot. So I'm excited about Trenton Simpson and seeing, you know, what it is that he's going to be able to do. That's another guy that I'm looking forward to watching this weekend to see how he's going to play. And again, I think that this weekend I'm also going to focus more so on the offensive line to see, you know, what formations they're going to have. It was kind of weird, you know, how they had set up, you know, with Ben Cleveland at center. It's like, I don't know what's going on over there. Trent Simpson is the guy that I just think that we have a lot of promise for, and I'm looking forward to see more of what they're going to do this weekend as we get to the second game of the preseason.
Talking to Rita Hubbard's Inside Access here on the Fan. Rita, first time we got to see the Ravens in a game with the new kickoff. Are you fired up about the new kickoff?
No. that's the one thing about the XFL that I didn't really love to begin with. And, I mean, you know, and that's fine, but I think that there's so much confusion still going on about the rules and what you can and can't do that it's going to take a while to kind of, you know, out the kinks of it. But, you know, maybe it's just I don't like it because it's new. It's not new to me because, again, I've watched XFL games and stuff, and I watched UFL last year. But I just don't know how that fits into the NFL. Some stuff you just got to leave alone. And I think that the NFL want to do everything but get technology in for first downs and touchdowns, which irritates me. But I'm not really loving it. And, again, it's not something that I really loved when I watched it in the other leagues. But maybe I just need to give it a chance and let it, you know, kind of play itself out. And hopefully once the players get more acclimated with the new rules as the season goes on, I'll change my mind. I doubt it. But maybe I'll change my mind.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're speaking to Rita Hubbard. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Rita, earlier in the show, we were talking O's and the fact that, look, 70 wins. They were the first team to 70 wins. We know that this is a flawed team, but so are the other 29 teams in baseball, where Jacob Calvin-Meyer, he had the stat. Right now, there isn't a team that is going to exceed 95 wins this year. That would be the first time since 1959. Despite all of the flaws and warts of this Orioles team, if they get some guys back healthy in September, could you see them still going on a run in October some way?
Yeah, and I've been saying this for a while. Last week when I started to write something for the Baltimore Beat and I looked at the standings, as of last week there were 12 teams of 60 or more wins. I don't know the updated stats on that. I'm just telling you as of last week that was what the stats were. And I just was saying that I don't recall this type of parity in Major League Baseball in my viewing memory. It's always been somebody that kind of stands out, you know. The Houston Astros have been a team that I think that, you know, lots of us were used to at this point. They're a caliber team. And then you got your bigger teams like the New York Yankees, like the Los Angeles Dodgers, those types of teams that, you know, they're obviously larger markets. And so they're always in a picture. But this year just feels a little bit different. And all the things that we complain about, which are all valid points, by the way, when you talk about the starting pitching and the health, when you talk about the bullpen, when you talk about the inconsistent bats, those are all obviously, you know, issues that could potentially hurt the Orioles when it comes to a World Series title. But when you start looking at everybody else, all the other teams that are quote unquote good, well, they got it too. And so I think that it allows the playing field to be a little bit more even. It allows teams to be flawed but still be in major contention, you know, for a World Series title. So I'm not surprised that it's not going to be a 100-win team because I've noticed this trend of, like, you know, even the teams that we maybe thought were going to be good a year later, a little bit ahead of schedule, maybe like the Kansas City Royals or whatever. But the fact that there's so many teams that are right now competitive and playing at a level where, you know, they're fighting. There's so many spots that people are fighting for currently. I think that gives the Orioles a great chance of being representatives of the AL for the World Series.
Rita, let's finish with this. Coby Mayo is yet to have a major league hit. He's not in the lineup tonight, which I think makes sense because Trevor Rogers, ground ball pitcher, and I think Mayo started the last time and committed an error in that game. So Arias at third base, yeah, should have been two. Are you concerned at all about Coby Mayo?
I mean, I'm concerned about how this organization treats guys like Coby Mayo. Yes. We've seen this before, right? You bring up a guy, a curse day, you send him down. You bring up a guy like Mayo, you send him back. I don't know what they're doing over there. And I guess that's my issue. I don't know how you expect anybody to find some type of continuity if you don't give them playing time. So if you're not going to give them playing time, then what was the point of bringing him up here to begin with? If you knew that he wasn't going to be a good third baseman, or if you didn't know that and you know that now, what is he still doing up here? I don't understand what they do with a lot of guys that they bring up and down. And I feel like this is just a pattern for the Orioles, how they operate. And so I'm frustrated for him. If I'm Coby Mayo, I'm frustrated. But I'm frustrated for him because how are we supposed to expect this kid, you know, come around and find some continuity and some consistency if you're not going to put him in the lineup? Or if third base is not where he's going to be, what is the backup plan here? And if you don't know, then send him back down. Let him get playing time so when you do want to send him back up and he's ready, then you can send him back up. But I just don't know what the Orioles ever do with any of these guys that they have. And to me, that's more of the frustrating part than Coby Mayo within itself.
You and Glenn tonight?
Me and Glenn tonight. So, yeah, we're going to have a little bit of fun. All-time low. They're coming into town, so we're Yeah, so we're going to have them call in, and we're going to talk to Obi Mahaley as well because he is the Falcons, I think, color guy there, or he does radio in Atlanta, one of those things. But former Raven fullback, we'll have him on. So I'm looking forward to that this evening.
Rita Hubbard, always great. Thanks for your time. We will chat next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.